Now, Amanda, you had a heart and lung transplant. How long ago?
It was 9 years ago.
What was life like before the heart and lung transplant?
I was very breathless, and I had heart failure, and I was on a lot of experimental medication, and I had a lot of procedures done, and which the condition, it was a deteriorating condition, so they didn't give me very long.
Right, and how old were you when this all started off?
It seriously started when I was about 14, 15, when I went into heart failure, after struggling for many years when I was very, very breathless. And then, you know, I've had to give up seeing my GP because they didn't know what was wrong. So I went to see a specialist on Harley Street, and she made a diagnosis. And then I ended up straight into Great Ormond Street.
Right, and so they basically said you hadn't got much longer in front of you.
That's right, yeah. Said if I didn't go into hospital and have a line put into my heart to put medication in, then I wouldn't have survived much longer.
So you were offered a heart and lung transplant. Now, that's a big deal, isn't it? It's a big decision to make.
Yeah, when I was 16, 17, they said to me that, you know, my life wouldn't go on too much longer and that the only way I will survive is to have a double lung and heart transplant.
What sort of things have to go through your mind then? Because we were talking about this earlier on and you were saying that some people think, well, of course I'm going to have a heart and lung transplant. I mean, why would I not? But what's the reality of that?
Well, the doctors basically said I had a 50-50 chance. So it was accepting that there's also a chance that I could live, that I could have a normal life, what everyone else would have, and a chance of studying and a chance of a job. And there's all that. But then you're afraid, you know, the worst might happen. And to realise that, you know, you spend most of the time with your family and that it's going to be more difficult for them than anyone. And I felt, you know, it took me a long while to accept that I could pass away and that this could be it.
You had the operation. What happened after?
I had it. After the difficult stage, which is after a month, I was still progressing really well. I was so determined to get out of bed, to not wear the bed socks. They were terrible. They're horrible things. I used to do laps around the nurses' station, walking round and round. A year to the very night of my transplant, the year anniversary, my friends dragged me out dancing in a nightclub in Romford. Obviously still shy. So my friend went over and asked this man to dance with me. And we started dancing, and he's now my husband. Yeah, that was amazing experience, really. Like getting married, I never thought I'd get married. Have a big white wedding, walk down the aisle, and my dad gave me away. It was just an incredible kind of day. And just so grateful to experience one of those things that, you know, privileged people get to experience. You know, and I thought, wow, this is what it feels like to be normal.
Now, you use the hospice where we are today.
That's right, yeah. I use it once a week, come in on a Friday. And it's just, I always look forward to it all week. It gives me support. It's lovely to meet the patients, really, that they're going through what you're going through or similar, to hear their stories and just kind of had a big aspect throughout my life, actually, that I feel so much more well.